Welcome to Licht Hören, a podcast about light, lighting, and the people behind it. Here, we explore this fascinating field, from education and daily practice to how we imagine and shape its future. Hi, Raphael. I'm very pleased to have you here. You're working in Germany and you do research on how we can use sunlight more efficiently. But first, Raphael, who are you and what do you do?
I'm Raphael Pesch. I'm a third year PhD student at Karlsruhe Institute of Technology, and I'm doing research in a laboratory and investigate new solar cells.
What do you mean by new solar cells? I mean, we have nice solar cells. They are of silicone and they are perfect. Or are they not?
Yes, they are somehow perfect, but they have limitations. So we investigate new material, not just silicon, but in our case, it's called perovskite, another crystal structure. And with that new material on top of silicon, so applied to a silicon solar cell, we can even get higher efficiencies. And that is the main goal of our research.
Okay, so you basically put something on top of something which is already working, but not working good enough, and making it better. Okay. What is perovskite? Like, what can I have in mind when you talk about perovskite?
Perovskite is a material system that can be easily tuned also in the laboratory and can make the light absorption for a different kind of the light spectra really efficient.
I see. And you call this combination of a solar cell and a perovskite on top, you call that tandem cells?
What we also do, and this is actually the main goal, is we put both together. So when we use the silicon solar cell and then on top of the silicon solar cell fabricate the perovskite solar cell, we can basically catch some parts of the light, in this case, for example, for silicon, the more reddish light, and for the perovskite, the more bluish light, way more efficiently, and then get more current out there, more power out there.
So you catch more of the rainbow of the light with this combination?
Yes, or in other words, we catch the rainbow more efficiently.
You work with light, daylight, basically, although you're an engineer. How did you end up with lighting or how to use light?
Really working in the field of light and light technology came when I decided to study something, to understand light, which in my case was electrical engineering, and then ended up specializing more and more in that subject. Finally, also working in a car company in the subject of headlamps or headlights and rear lights, and then really using light to illuminate something and discover or see, for example, the street. And within electrical engineering, there are millions of subjects that you can do. And I thought electrical engineering is quite well suited because I knew it has also something to do with this micro and nano world. This is what you need to learn when you want to learn how light is generated. And from that subject, then I specialized more and more the longer I was into my bachelor studies, for example, light technology and light engineering. And that then basically ends up on the other side of light, which is the macroscopic world, not thinking about how the light is generated, but rather how I can use it, how I can project it onto something. And this is then what's interesting for car companies like Porsche, because they need to illuminate the street, but they also want to have cool designs, for example, in their rear lamps, to have a great red color for the rear lamp. And this is what I did in my internship at Porsche and then later on also in the bachelor thesis I did there.
Nice. But how did you end up in solar cells? You worked with a startup, didn't you?
Yes. So when I started my master's, I decided for specializing more into that, let's say, micro-nano world again. And I had specialization micro-nano optoelectronics.
As I learned, you also worked in the US. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I decided during my master studies to not just see it in the university, but also to have a look on it in industry or in a startup back then, which focused on photovoltaics and more specifically the incorporation of light into the solar cell by applying an anti-reflection coating. And the cool thing, how they did it was actually they just copied the structure that they found in nature, more specifically on a rose petal, and used that to absorb light more efficiently. And finally, when working there, I also got to know this field of bio-inspired photonic engineering, which led me to the master thesis that I finally did in the US.
Was there something special in your career which hooked you, like something like, oh my God.
This, oh, what is crazy moment was a lot of crazy and cool ideas that come up for interacting with light are actually already out there in the nature. Like, for example, butterfly wings or the rose petal. They have phenomenal properties regarding light transformation, light absorption, and that we can just analyze them.
How do you work daily with nano level solar cells?
The solar cells that we fabricate, what makes them so special is they are really, really small. So the thickness of the solar cell itself is just hundreds of nanometers, which is like way, way, way smaller than a hair thick is. Which also means when we make these solar cells, we need to take care that we don't destroy them while fabricating. And destroying means even a dust corn destroys them. So whenever I fabricate these solar cells, I enter either a thin film lab or a clean room where we have conditions where no dust is around. We dress up completely in a suit that prevents all particles from us floating into the air. And we have filters in that room. And with that, we can actually make sure that when fabricating the devices and when working with the devices, we don't destroy them immediately.
That's cool. You print them with an inkjet printer in a full body suit, totally clean. It sounds paradoxical.
It's exactly the right picture you got. The perovskite solar cells itself have the benefit that they can be processed out of a liquid phase. So we use a solvent to solve all of the material that is necessary for these materials. Then we can just put the solvent on a glass sheet, for example, let all the solvent evaporate or dry out on a hot plate. And then what remains is the material that is necessary for the solar cell. But when we go over to industrialization, it needs to be a square meter sized so that it can end up on a roof. And one way to do this is inkjet printing, actually.
I'm really fascinated how big this lighting field is. Like, it's not just putting light bulbs in the ceiling or planning windows. How does a typical workday, say 9 to 5, or for you 8 to 4, look like?
And like one typical day could be either I'm the whole time in lab. Another typical day could be I kind of investigate what I did in the lab and look at the results and then try to sum it up, write a paper about it. Another day could be I have to do teaching. So I'm just in front of a class of students and lecturing them. Or even more crazy, we go for conferences quite often. So we travel the world and then try to explain what we discovered.
When can I buy your solar cells?
So first of all, silicon is great. What we are doing is basically we try to put the perovskite on top of the silicon to make it more efficient. But the stability and the scalability remain challenging. And I'm, for example, working on the scalability, so providing technology like inkjet printing to make it scalable. And then other researchers, also from the same subject, try to make it more stable. Nobody would build up a solar cell on top of their roof, which would need to be mounted back 2 or 3 years later. Since the efficiency is so good, industry is now catching up. But there is no supplier yet where you can really buy it with a guarantee above 25, 30 years. I hope this will happen in the next 5-10 years.
I'm very curious to hear more about that in the future. If you think of your 18-year-old self, what advice would you give?
I mean, the 18-year-old self is just standing in front of that 5 years of studying. And I remember when I started it, it was really overwhelming. There were a lot of subjects, a lot of new stuff, a new city, and just learning, learning, learning. And I would somehow feel like probably I also missed a little bit of the time and the good moments that I could have had back then. So taking a break, taking a vacation, even though you're studying and even though it's hard, I think it's quite important to mention.
I know you started a YouTube channel to help others to learn, and it's called Brain Gain. And do you still do this?
Yes, when we studied electrical engineering, I started studying it with my best friend. And we both came up just before the exams that we figured out, whoa, it was a lot of stuff that we had to learn. And the lessons are months ago, and the exam will be next week. So it would be good to have a course that kind of sums up everything and explains to us what is necessary for the exams. So we basically just after every exam, even before we got the grades of the exam, if we failed or didn't fail, we made a video about everything that we knew and tried to put it into small videos, just like every small subject there just break it down to a really, really small and short video. Now it's close to 20,000 subscribers.
Where can people learn more about your field? Is there something you would recommend to look at?
Yes, I mean, in Germany, we have this Tag der offenen Tür, Day of the Open Door. And I mean, it exists basically in every institute, company, and whatever. So when someone is interested in this subject, you can just go there. There's all the experts, all the people working in that field for years, and they explain what they are doing, show some samples, show some experiments, show the labs, show the building, and the everyday life.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Rafael, it was lovely talking to you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me and all the great questions.
Are you new to lighting or ready for more? Follow your curiosity. Start small and keep growing. There are degrees, part-time courses, and events to dive deeper into lighting. Find further information in the show notes and at lichtpodcast.org. You have been listening to Lichthören, a joint project of the lighting societies of Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. Thank you for listening. You'll find ways to connect with us through the comments or in the show notes.